Have you ever had that time in your life when you got angry, you know, and you were really mad? Maybe you were venting to somebody, a loved one, a friend, family member, whatever the case may be, and you were just really going at it. And then they said something to you like, well, you know, that's not very Christian-like of you. And, you know how it is. When we're in the midst of anger, we get all stirred up. And then they said, well, you know, that's just not Christ-like. And then when they said that to us, we just kind of had that moment where we thought, no, I have a right to be angry at this, or I have a justification for why I feel like I do. That's what you thought in your mind. Maybe you didn't say that back to them, but you know what? Maybe, just maybe, you had a point. Today, we're going to continue looking at our Wednesday series called Transforming Turmoil, Finding Peace in the Storm, and we're going to look at righteous indignation, the anger of Christ. We're going to look at the difference between righteous indignation and just plain old anger. So grab your Bible, turn it over to Mark chapter 3. That's Mark chapter 3, and I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, we want to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Pray that your day is going well, and we thank you for taking the time to spend some time around the Word with us today for the Wednesday Bible study. Just a moment ago, I mentioned anger, and all of us have had that. Doesn't matter what's going on, where you are in life, what phase you are in life, even children will experience some anger. And there have been times that when we have felt that anger, we felt like, well, you know what? I am justified in feeling the way that I do. And then other people may look at us and they would say, well, you know what? Christians aren't supposed to be angry. They're not supposed to, you know, to show anger in any way. Well, let's clear that up today. I've always said, I want you to know why you believe what you believe. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not here today in this Bible study to sit back and say, yeah, you know, every one of us has the right to beat on our chest and run around. But I think once you understand the difference between plain old anger and righteous indignation, you're going to understand more about what we're talking about. You see, anger is an emotion that every human being experiences, but not all anger is the same. There's a stark difference between sinful anger and righteous indignation. And today, we're going to look in the book of Mark to explore how Jesus himself expressed anger in a righteous way. And some people say, oh, you mean there's a righteous way to express anger? Sure there is. And in doing so, that particular method is something that's going to align with God's will. So I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at Mark chapter 3, and we're specifically going to be looking at verses 1 through 5. So read along with me. Mark chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, it says, "And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Step forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger," did you get that? Looked around at them with anger, "being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and the hand was restored as whole as the other." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask that you would speak to our hearts through your word. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit may move freely in our lives. Wherever we are, wherever we may be watching this broadcast, I pray that we can truly give an ear to what the Spirit would have to say to us today. Lord, I also ask that in doing so, that you would, in a very, very special way, Father, speak to our hearts, draw us close to you as only you can. If there's adjustments and corrections that need to be made, Lord, I pray that would be so as we spend this time together today. Just bless our time as only you can, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so as we look at this particular passage, we need to have a little bit of historical content about what was taking place and what was going on. So this particular passage takes place in a synagogue where Jesus frequently taught. Now, the Jewish leaders particularly the Pharisees, were known for their very, very strict observance of the Sabbath. You know, they monitored Jesus very closely, and they did so not so that they could learn from him, but to find reasons to accuse him. Now, the tension between Jesus and the righteous authorities serve as a backdrop for this particular narrative, and this really highlights the contrast between human legalism and divine compassion. Boy, that's a big thing right there. So think about that for a minute. There's a huge contrast between human legalism and divine compassion. So, you know, in our New King James Version that we're using for our Bible study today, this captures the essence of this particular passage by highlighting Jesus's anger and his grief. Now, the Greek word used for anger suggests a very strong emotion of displeasure, yet it is paired with the word grieved. Now, what this does is this indicates a deep sorrow for their hardness of hearts, all right? This particular pairing illustrates that Jesus' anger, it was not a selfish outburst, but it was a response to injustice and spiritual blindness that was taking place right there in his midst. And the thing about it was, this was being done by guys who should have known better. These were the religious leaders of that particular day, the ones that should have understood more than anybody else. So I can imagine the tension and the frustration that Jesus had with them. Not only that, these were the guys that were teaching other people. So if this was really their heart and this was really their thought, can you imagine, you know, what must be taking place? What must they be teaching the people? And I've said this, the word tells us that particularly those who are pastors, those who are teachers, are going to stand accountable for what is taught and what is preached out of the Word of God. And if it's something that is contrary to God's Word, there will be a reckoning day that will come for that, okay? So, you know, Jesus, you know, he had some anger, but it wasn't selfish. It wasn't that it was just this big outburst, but rather his anger was a response to the injustice and spiritual blindness that was taking place right there in his presence, okay? So Jesus' expression of anger in this particular passage exemplifies what we call righteous indignation. Now, you may have heard that word as we started our Bible study, and you might be sitting back going, okay, I'm not exactly sure, you know, what that's talking about. This is a wonderful example of that. This expression, the expression of anger that Jesus used in our text, is an example of righteous indignation. Now, unlike sinful anger, which is focused on personal grievances that we may have, you know, righteous indignation is rooted in love. You know, love for justice and sorrow that for sin that is being committed. See, Jesus' anger was directed at the Pharisees' hard-heartedness. I think that's something key that we need to understand. It wasn't directed to them at, you know, necessarily as a person. It was directed at what was taking place. It was directed at the hard-heartedness of the Pharisees, as well as their prioritization of tradition over compassion. You know, when you look at that, most of us have sat back and maybe several times, if you're a student of the Bible, you've looked at the Scripture, and there have been several times that you have looked at Scripture and you thought, man, how could somebody be so hard-hearted? How could somebody be as callous as to sit back and say, you know, they get mad at Jesus simply because Jesus did something great for somebody, or simply because, you know, Jesus healed somebody. It was on the Sabbath. And you go, oh, you know what? It was far worse that Jesus did something on the Sabbath rather than keeping that particular Sabbath holy according to their words. And folks, we have a bunch of man-made things that are taking place in our lives, in our churches, in our spiritual lives. And I'm not saying that they're all necessarily bad, but what happens, you know, when we think about legalism, you know, we think about legalism in regard to, well, you know, women shouldn't wear pants or shorts and guys' hair shouldn't touch their ears, all these different kind of things. Those are man-made rules. You know, what happens is too often we're so busy trying to do the do's of the Bible and don't do the don'ts that what happens is we completely miss out on the relationship that Jesus Christ wants to have with us, okay? So, you know, what Jesus is witnessing here are the Pharisees looking more at tradition over compassion. Here's a man who had a withered hand, probably couldn't work, probably couldn't do anything with it. And Jesus is wanting to have compassion on him. Jesus is going to heal him, but yet they're mad. The religious leaders are upset because Jesus is doing this on the Sabbath. Wasn't about the man. Wasn't about the fact that he could be made, you know, well and made clean. It was about the fact that Jesus was breaking the tradition of the Sabbath. So as we examine the text, it's clear that Jesus did not rush into anger. And I think that's a key thing too. We need to stop and evaluate. Yeah, folks, some of us that are watching today don't even stop for anything. You just plow headlong into anger. You say things you shouldn't say. You do things that you shouldn't do. If you would have only stopped for a few moments, taken a breath, evaluated the situation, and most likely about 99% of the time handled the situation in a different way, the outcome would have been completely different. So as we look at this passage, it is very, very clear that Jesus didn't rush into anger. You know, his response was a calculated response, and his response was a purposeful response. Okay, he first engaged with the man who had the withered hand. You know, he saw the need of this man, you know, and he begins to have a conversation with him. And what he did was, you know, if you notice, he took the man and he positioned him in the center of the synagogue. Now, why would you do that? Because that's going to be a focal point. That's where everybody was going to be looking and everybody was going to be watching. Jesus had some lessons, not only for the man that he healed, but also for those particular Pharisees, okay? So what he did was he made the issue very visible to everyone that was present, all right? Jesus posed a very profound question about the true purpose of the Sabbath. Yet he was challenging the Pharisees' very rigid interpretation. Now, despite their silence, Jesus' anger was not void of compassion. It was a righteous response to their spiritual apathy. Yet his command to the man to stretch out his hand was not only a display of divine power, but it was also a demonstration of God's will, prioritizing mercy over legalism. So you can see that. You know, in other words, he's like, you know what? I'm not worried about the man-made rules. I'm more compassionate. I'm more, you know, concerned about this man. I'm more concerned about what this healing not only will do for him, but what it will do for those that are in the midst. Here's a great teaching moment of Jesus as he taught in the synagogue. And everybody's watching. This situation is front and center. So as you and I look at that, the distinction between sinful anger and righteous indignation is crucial for our spiritual maturity. Sinful anger very often arises from pride. It arises from resentment. It arises from personal offenses that somebody may have committed, to us. Now, in contrast, you know, righteous indignation is rooted in the character and the purpose of God. You know, this is aiming to address injustice and sin. Now, as followers of Christ, we must examine our own hearts and motives when anger arises. You know, we need to be ensuring that our response, whatever it is that we say, whatever it is that we do, aligns with God's righteousness and with His love. So now I hope and pray that you begin to see the difference between plain old anger and righteous indignation. It's funny because people sit back and say, well, Jesus got angry. Look here in the Bible. It says right here that he was angry. He was angry at their thoughts, but he didn't lash out at them. He didn't use that as a justifiable tool, to go back at them or to get even with them, however you might want to say that. You know, what it did was it included the fact, you know, it's all right to look at social injustices and be angry at the fact that there are social injustices. Now, the thing about it is you still need to love the people who may be committing those social injustices, but it's all right for you to be angry at the social injustice. It's all right for you to be angry at anything that does not please God. when you think about these sort of things, it's not something that's personal to you. It's not something that you allow to drive you to a completely different dimension in your mind, okay? In other words, it's not something that we use the term that makes us snap, and then all of a sudden we say things, we do things that we shouldn't do. We have taken that as a personal offense rather than something that we look at and say, here's something I need to stand on because I don't agree with what's taking place. Now, you can disagree with a person. You can disagree with what they're doing. You can disagree with their ways, but you're always going to love them. That's why I don't understand today why it is so difficult for people to understand. Often, we as Christians, if we don't agree with sin that's taking place in the world, we often get looked at as intolerant. We often get called bigots. We get called all kinds of different things. And I've tried to express before, I said, no, listen, it's not that I have anything against you personally. I have something to do, with what you're doing that violates the laws and the principles of God's word. It usually gets summed up by the Christian like this. And like I say, this drives people bananas today. But oftentimes what we'll do is we'll say, you know what? Like God, I am going to hate the sin and love the sinner. You know what? That is a very justifiable remark. You should hate the sin, things that are pointed out within God's word. But as always, you should love the sinner. You should have compassion toward them, not to lash out with anger over them. And so you know what? That is a true statement. I've actually been told to my face, well, that's not possible to do. You can't love somebody and hate what they're doing. And I'm like, why not? It's a complete biblical concept, all right? So that's what we do. Now, so again, we're going back to the fact that there is a difference between straight up anger and righteous indignation. So Jesus and his righteous indignation serves as a model for you and I. He demonstrated that anger, when properly directed, can lead to restoration and healing. So let's be mindful of our own emotions. And may we seek to channel them in ways that honor God, in ways that are going to advance his kingdom. So as we've taken just a few moments today to spend a little bit of time in God's word and look at the difference between plain old angry, things that make us mad, and righteous indignation, I hope and pray that you see, yes, depending on the circumstances and how you handle them, you do have a right to be angry, but be angry like Jesus. Be angry for a cause. Be angry for a reason, and not one that is a personal reason because somebody wronged you or something, but simply because what is going on isn't right or essentially defies what the Word of God says. You have a right to be angry over sin. That's what the Word is telling us. And as always, we have to be incredibly careful, especially in 2026, that as we call sin sin, we always have to be very, very careful that we make sure that we are showing compassion and loving the one who is the sinner. And you know what? Sometimes that's either misunderstood, misdirected, or we don't handle it properly. Sometimes our actions don't prove that our anger is truly righteous indignation. We go nuts. Okay. So I want you to take thought about this, write this thing down, particularly if you're somebody who deals with situations of anger, jot these verses down. And when somebody says, well, you shouldn't be angry and you can't do this or you can't do that, you can sit back and say, no, there's a difference between righteous indignation and anger. And God gives me the right to be righteously indignant with things that are violations of his word or things that are sinful in nature. So you do have a leg to stand on, but you have to be incredibly careful that you handle it properly. You have to handle it in a manner in which Jesus did, not in the manner which human nature tells us to handle something. So you know what? That's when it can get a little bit tricky. But at any rate, listen, I'm going to go ahead and close this in a word of prayer, and then I'm going to let you know what it is that we're going to be looking at for next week as we continue our series. So let's pray together. Father in heaven, we just pray, Lord, that you will help us to understand the difference between sinful anger and righteous indignation. Lord, I pray that we will reflect Christ's character in all situations and in all that we say and in all that we do. And Lord, may we reflect Christ's character as we respond to injustices with a true heart that seeks your will in these situations. Lord, I pray that you will cleanse us from anger that does not align with your purpose. Lord, I pray that you will mold us into vessels of your love and vessels of your justice. And Lord, I pray that you will help us as we strive to be everything you want us to be. And Lord, we lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. Well, let me tell you what we're going to be looking at as far as our Bible reading this week, and then what we're going to be discussing next week. Once again, next week we will continue our Wednesday series called Transforming Turmoil, Finding Peace in the Storm. Next week will be our sixth week in this particular series. And next week, we're going to look at overcoming frustration. Now, I know some of you all get very, very frustrated. There are times I get frustrated. Sometimes it can be, sometimes that frustration can cause me to lose my cotton-picking mind for a little bit. But at any rate, yeah, as you're looking at the Word this week, next week we're going to talk about overcoming frustration, and the way to do that is through prayer. So the passage I want you to spend some time in this week is Philippians chapter 4. Next week we're going to be specifically looking at verses 6 and 7. And you know what? I want to encourage you, as the Word does, to turn to prayer as a means of dealing with frustrations. And you know what? We want to discuss how prayer can bring clarity, it can bring peace, and it can also bring a renewed perspective to our situation. So this week, Philippians chapter 4, specifically verses 6 and 7 for next week, and it's going to be overcoming frustration through prayer. And I hope and pray that you will take the time, the moments, and the opportunities to not only be prepared, but to join us for next week's Bible study. So, folks, as always, I want to invite you, if you don't have a church home or if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge area, we would love for you to join us at Central Baptist Church. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We do have, our service time is 10:45. We started at 10:45. We have plenty of discipleship opportunities. We have Awana for the kids. We've got some small groups for men and for women. We've got the Sunday night Bible study that is discipleship in nature. So we would certainly love to have you join us as we worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. If you do so, make sure you introduce yourself to me. If I've never met you before, you can always come up and say, hello, I'm so-and-so, and I just want you to know I've watched you on the Wednesday Bible study. We wanted to come join you in person. We would certainly love to have you do that. And I pray God's blessings upon you and yours for the rest of this week. And I hope to see you Sunday. If not, I'll see you next Wednesday at the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. God bless. Have a great week. ¶¶